Welcome to Bare Roots,
the podcast that unearths the truth.
Allegedly.
We're your hosts. I'm Alina.
And I'm Shannon.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bare Roots Podcast. Today, we have a great episode because we're talking about something I don't know if a lot of people know about. And I'm only saying that because I didn't know anything about it. And it is the Easter Island Heads. And you're probably wondering, what does that mean? Is it related to the holiday Easter? Like, what are we working with? And we're going to talk all about it. But for the most part, it's these really cool statues, essentially. And people have so many questions, like, when did it first arrive? Where did it come from? How did it get there? You know, the classic questions of these mysterious objects. So we're going to dive in. But before we do so, Shannon, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Alina, are you saying that you've never seen them before researching this episode?
Never.
What?
Yeah, I had no idea.
There's an emoji for them, Alina.
Whoa. Oh my God, I'm looking at my phone right now. That's where its inspo is from?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
This is like a wonder of the world.
Whoa, wait, is it actually a wonder?
I actually don't know.
I need you to fact check that. Oh my gosh. I feel like, okay, hold on. I'm going back into my mind. I feel like I've definitely seen something like that, but more like in a tiki environment. And it's giving me, do you remember, and I need you to go back in time, the Even Stevens movie?
Oh my God.
And didn't they get cursed on the island and there was this whole thing?
I don't know.
Okay. I wonder if it was inspired by that. Okay, hold on. I'm looking for this emoji and not saying you're a liar.
Am I a liar?
Struggling. I'm just struggling. That's all. Maybe statue? Oh, okay. Okay. No. It's here. Is it this guy right here?
Yeah.
Okay, yep. If you search statue, you'll see it's not the Statue of Liberty emoji, but it's this like gray face. Oh my God. Wow, when emojis are more cultured than me.
They're iconic. They're not, I looked up, they're not a wonder of the world, but
okay.
Maybe in the top 10. I don't know. Maybe just didn't make the 7.
Yeah, you know, we don't know. Who comes up with the list anyways?
I'm so happy that this is such a new topic for you because it's truly a learning episode then.
Yes, it really is.
When you said that, when I suggested this topic and you said you didn't know anything about it, I figured you at least like, I'm like, oh, well, does she knows the head.
Yeah, nope. Nothing.
Well, here we go.
I don't know why. Yeah. So
interesting.
Join me or join Shannon. I don't know what side you guys are on listening to the pod, but it's a good story.
Yeah, and to be fair, I didn't know much other than there were these huge statues that were heads and buried bodies.
Exactly.
So yeah, we're going to jump right into it. So, you know, when you picture the Eastern Island head statues, you can just picture the iconic massive heads with the big noses, the protruding brow, but most people don't know that they actually have bodies that are beneath those heads that just have mm-hmm. been buried. And I think that was a relatively recent find too, that the bodies were there.
I think so too. Yeah.
But this isn't the only surprising fact or mystery that comes with these statues. There are so many questions that are unanswered, and even the most simple. Like what Alina was saying, like, who were the first people to arrive at this island? You know, why are all these statues toppled over? Why were they put there in the first place? How did they move them from one spot to another? It's like one of those crazy things that we're trying to figure out, how these people engineered like Stonehenge and the pyramids, you know, like how did they do it?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to hop in. The island is named Easter Island, by the Dutch explorer Jacob Roggeveen, who mm-hmm. was the first person to spy it in 1722 on Easter Day, and that's why he named it that. Of course, there was a native name for it. before that. There were Native people living there, but this is the first person who had written down documentation of the island. It's a very, very small island. It's just 14 miles long and 7 miles wide. Like, think about that. You would have to run around it. No, that's not the right math. You would have to run up and down it twice to basically get a marathon.
Wild.
Like, you're only running a half marathon by running one direction on it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's more than 2,000 miles off the coast of South America and 1,100 miles from the nearest Polynesian neighbor, Pitcairn Island. So it's a very, very remote landmass. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we talked about it on here, but Alina and I have been to Hawaii, which is another very remote landmass in the middle Pacific. And it's an eerie feeling. I can't imagine being that remote and then also being that small. That's like a crazy, crazy thing.
Completely. It really is an eerie feeling. And you don't think about it. You think island time, you know, like I'm just going to be relaxing. And it is. But when you look at the flip side of it, eerie.
When you are landing and you only see blue everywhere, it's kind of scary.
Yep.
Kind of scary.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. No place to run.
Mm-mm. No place.
It's believed that the first people to arrive on this island came anywhere between the 1st and the 6th century AD, and they came from a Polynesian island, but nobody knows exactly which one. The fact that they even found this place, because again, this is 1,100 miles from anywhere mm-hmm. they came from, so they went in their canoes or their double canoe boats 1,100 miles to find this 14 by 7 mile island. Like, they were so lucky to find it.
They really were. Yeah, that also like blew my mind.
There is one native belief that their ancestors that came over, the priest of the group, he had a dream that this place existed and that they needed to leave their current place. And so that's why they left and went directly there, which honestly, because of how slim chance that you're able to find this, I'm like, sure. Yeah, you have to be guided to it. You know, you have
to. Yeah.
It's so small.
mm-hmm.
So on this island, there are about 1,000 statues, and the tallest is 33 feet tall, and it weighs as much as 80 tons. These statues are still an enigma. We have some information on the population that built them, but...
Yep.
Not a ton of information on the statues themselves. It was once thought that the island's population was too small, too primitive, and too isolated to be able to, you know, do a feat of artistry and engineering and labor to do this. And a lot of that's because by the time the Europeans came, there were less native people on the island, but we'll get to that. So the statues are called moais. And 95% of them were carved from the rock coming from the volcano Rano Raraku. This rock is called tuff, and it's compressed volcanic ash, which makes it very easy to carve. That's really nice because the natives had no metal to carve with, so needed to be a softer stone to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And the dates kind of are wide for when these statues were created. I saw different numbers online, but if we want to take the widest dates, it's somewhere mm-hmm. between 1100 and 1650 AD, which 1650 AD is not that long ago.
That's a good point. Yeah, because we're talking, what, only 100 years before America?
Well, when was Roanoke? You know, wasn't that in the 1600s?
True that, true that. Yeah, I'm going to lean more towards with the 1100.
Yeah, and they were probably made for a while, you know, for hundreds of years mm-hmm. or whatever. But yeah, 1650 really isn't that long ago, which is mm-mm. wild. And the whole reason why for most of them, we only see their heads is because as time passed, the soil and sediment built up around their bodies. Mm-hmm. And I read some things that said that they might have had a high sediment event, basically either like an eruption from the volcano and the ash settles down, or like a landslide and the soil buries them. Because it is fascinating how things get buried, you know?
Yes. Yes. What time and nature does.
Yeah. So that's why most of them, you just see the heads above the ground. And it's pretty well thought that the Moai statues were built to honor chieftains or other important people of the community that passed away. They were intentionally made with different characteristics because they were kind of intended to be the appearance of the person that had just passed. Mm-hmm. And human remains were found around the statues, which potentially indicates that families were buried around their, you know, familial chieftain. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, most of the statues have petroglyphs on the backs. For instance, there's a crescent in the shape of a canoe, and that could potentially be like, that's the canoe family, you know, they were signifying different family names, which is pretty interesting.
Remind me, what was the difference between hieroglyphs and petroglyphs?
That's an excellent question. If I'm going to make it up in my mind, Petra mm-hmm. is rock. So I'm going to say that hieroglyphs were more actual, with
like paintings, ink. But like, yeah.
Yeah. And petroglyphs were carved.
I'm looking it up. Yep. Rock carvings.
Wow. I'm so good.
God, when you're smart, you're just smart.
Where's yes. the SATs now? Give me those Latin roots, baby.
Literally. Yep. Okay, that makes sense.
And what's interesting, and I didn't know this, was that the eye sockets weren't carved until the statue made it to its final location. And then mm-hmm. they would also add coral into the eye socket to make it look like an eye. And they just look so minimalistic and so... they have such a look to them, an aesthetic, yes. one would say. And so the idea of having the coral in there is pretty cool.
Yeah, which is such a great point because even in drawing, the eyes are really difficult to master, I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
So I get it. I get it. You know, you take your time.
Yeah, you don't want that get that messed up on its way to the spot.
Exactly.
And by adding this coral, it really made the statue come to life. And the word Moai means so that he can exist. So that's kind of nice.
That is cute.
And I did a little bit of research on the native people there, and I thought it was really interesting. So when they first arrived to the island, it had many trees. And when you look at photos now, it's literally just open mm-hmm. and these statues. So that was a bit of a shock. And the reason why they're all gone is because the population rose and the island got overtaxed and there were no more trees for canoes, which equals no more fishing, which equals starvation. So the first Moai were thin and then they got increasingly fatter. And some people think that that's because it's kind of like an idealized version of them. And mm-hmm. so, you know, when the people are starving, people who are on the fatter side are the ideal, you know?
Yes.
Look. Yep. And there were civil wars that kind of broke out because of the starvation. Many statues were abandoned. Like there were a lot left at initial quarry that they were made from. There were a lot that were abandoned or destroyed there. And they said that there's some reports that that first European sighting of the island, all of the statues were still standing, or what you could also say is that they didn't say anything about toppled statues. So one or the other. The island was at once home to 20,000 people. So by the time the first European ship arrived, it was just a few thousand.
It's really not a lot of people. If you think about a stadium, that holds about 50,000 people. So that's less than a stadium. And if you've ever been to a concert or like a sporting event, it's kind of weird to think about.
Yeah, but the island's so small. Like I'm surprised that 20,000 people could fit on that island. Later, as visitors kept coming in, they reported more statues had fallen. By the 19th century, not a single statue was left standing. And most common theory was that the statues were overthrown in, you know, the Civil War to kind of maybe potentially humiliate the enemy because it's their family mm-hmm. ties or whatever. But by 1877, there were only 110 natives left on the island. And that isn't all due to like warfare and starvation. There were a few thousand that were taken as slaves, naturally. As the Europeans like to do. now the country, which I didn't know, now the country, or now the island is governed by Chile, and there are 2,000 native people living there.
That was something I did not know, too.
Yeah, I didn't know Chile governs it. And I know at one point it is currently a national park of Chile, but there is some debate over if it should be a national park because there is like one town there. The native people should have the land back to, you know, live on there. But then other people are like, no, we need to protect it because it's a historical place. So it's kind of up in the air there.
Yep.
Oh, and then another theory as to why the statues are toppled over is that there's a legend of a woman who possessed a strong power, and she made the statues fall in anger when her four children at one occasion had left her nothing to eat. So that's hanger for you. But that sounds like just trying to teach your kids not to eat your food.
It's like that commercial, you're not you when you're hungry.
Have a Snickers.
Yeah, have a Snickers. Exactly. Can relate.
That was me earlier today, actually.
I love it. I love listening to these, not listening, but hearing about these. I guess hearing and listening are the same thing. I love reading about these legends. I don't know. They're just so fun.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, too, to this day I was reading, still believe in that full-heartedly. So don't discount it, you know? So interesting. I don't know. And the detail, the level of detail of these statues are just chef's kiss.
It's so consistent. You think that it's the same person making all of them because they all are very consistent.
Yep, you really do.
Yeah, that's kind of the Easter Island heads in a nutshell. It's a quick run through.
Yes. Alrighty, so let's talk about all of these different theories that people have about transporting these statues, because it really is a big question that people have had over thousands of years. But before we do so, let's first hear a word from our sponsors. Alrighty, we are back. So there's a few different theories that people have regarding the transportation of these theories. And this is just a big mystery all in all, because as Shannon was describing kind of the terrain, it's this hilly terrain, kind of gives me Stonehenge vibes, if you know what I'm talking about in terms of look. So the first theory is there are definitely a lot of different transportation theories, but one that people talk about is that they may have fell during the transportation, and that's why they're lying on their stomachs or backs. And again, just have to think about the fact that, yes, we only see some of their heads, but over time, you know, that was covered and there was a whole body. Mm-hmm. And so people think that the Moais were transported upright, because that would just be a natural positioning. But then during the transportation, it would have fallen. And that's why the people of the island, they didn't have enough, you know, labor power, and of course not the technology to be able to lift it back upright. So that's why some of them are still in the positioning that they are in, which definitely makes sense. But another theory that's really widely accepted is that the statues were standing on some of kind of construction that would keep the statue standing, and they would roll it on the logs, which again, I think that makes sense to me, especially given the technology, given the time period. I think that is very smart technology innovation in how to transport these logs, or not logs, but transport these items. The next theory that people have is according to oral tradition, which we love, and it is that the Moai statues walked to their destination. So it's a literal interpretation of this legend would be that the statues were rocked from side to side, just like you would with a refrigerator, to make them walk. And for this, no wood would be required, only ropes. So just, you know, picture that waddle. And a research group tested this out, and it took as few as 18 people to rock the 5-ton statue replica a few hundred yards. Interesting.
Yeah.
But there are a few things that, like, people say, but what do you think, Shannon?
I like the theory. Like, I'm just kind of picturing, if we're gonna maybe try to make something we can picture, think of a child trying to move a refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be a better scale. So if you had like a few kids, you could kind of shimmy it.
Right.
Whereas, like you were saying before, if it was laying down, it would take a lot of effort to have a kid get that upright, you know?
Yep, yep.
I don't know, even if you had ropes and stuff, like, how many kids would you need to, like, pull enough to get that upright? So I don't know if that, I mean, I'm not great with physics, but I really do like the shimmy approach, because I just feel like that's what we would all try to do, right? You know,
yeah,
you would try that.
Yep.
I do think it's terrifying, because if that fell and you were in the way, you're done. But I do like it. How about you?
Yep. I do really like this too. And I like that it's been tested. So there's some backing, some support to this theory. So I can see that being a natural way, especially again, given the time period. And again, I'm just blown away with, you know, people back in the day and the technology they were able to come up with. So smart, so innovative. It's just so impressive.
And the energy, like the drive to do it. You want to do it so bad that you're going to do it hard.
Yes. 100%. But there are some, you know, weaknesses with these theories, or with this particular theory. And one, it doesn't really explain the disappearance of trees. Another thing too, as you were talking about, statue would fall quite easily during the transportation using this method, which definitely I can see 100%. And it is a very time-consuming technique. And granted, I feel like, what are we doing, you know, back in the day? It's not like we got iPads and TV. So considering the quantity of statues, and again, there's mucho statues, and their distance, people think that a quicker way of transporting the statues would have been more advisable. So that's true. You know, I could see that being a thing.
And the people that say this are saying that they used all the trees and making rollers to roll the statues along. Is that what they're saying?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is fair.
Yeah.
I did also see that with the rotund bellies that some of them have, they said that that helps them do the little shimmy, because it kind of gives that edge to shimmy it around. So it's like, oh, is the stomach actually strategic? I don't think we've mentioned this before, but these statues, yes, they have a whole body, but the head is most of the height is the head. And then the torso is very short, and it basically has no legs. Like, it's just those kind of little feet sticking out. So it is mostly the big head. So yeah, they would kind of be rolling the belly to get into position.
And then we have a theory that we gotta talk about, because this would not be a Bare Roots podcast, but aliens, right? I think that's a go-to answer. Right. So some people think that the aliens made the Moai statues, just given everything that we talked about with all the questions and the mystery of it all. Although, you know, according to legends of the people there, they're the ones that saying that their ancestors are the ones that made these statues. So they definitely don't believe in the alien theory. But for others outside of the island, they might perhaps buy into this. So overall, Shannon, what are your thoughts? Like, where's your tinfoil hat on these theories?
I think I really do like the shimmy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that I rest my case. I think it's the shimmy. I did anticipate more theories about, like, why they were made and why they're here.
Yeah,
but it seemed pretty cut and dry. Everybody agrees. Oh yeah, no, these are like gravesite, you know.
Yep. Yep.
Chieftain people. So I was a little disappointed that we didn't have more mystery in that regard, but there is still clearly plenty of mystery in how they got them from one place to another. But I'm going to go with the shimmy route. How about you?
I agree with you. I'm going in with the shimmy route. I think that makes the most sense. I understand, you know, some of the flaws in it, but overall, I'm leaning towards that. And it makes me want to go see it.
No. I know, me too.
After this episode, like, do we need to do a trip and do a follow-up episode for Bear Roots?
Oh my God, I'd love to. Do they have an airport on this little island?
Ooh, good question. I don't know.
I mean, people get there somehow, so I don't know.
Somehow, some way.
Maybe just like a helipad.
How do we get the money? But yeah, overall, definitely let us know if you're listening to this, what you think. Let us know, have you heard of the Easter Island Heads? What are your theories and thoughts on this? We'd love to hear it on our Instagram platform at Bear Roots Pod, BARE. And be sure to give us a 5-star review if you're loving and listening to this on any listening platform. And we will talk to you guys later. Bye.
Bye.